Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanabhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adi Karna 5, the Lord's paraphernalia are non-different from its surup, right? Because the last one was his dham, so here's the paraphernalia. Page 106. In the discussion between Sanat Kumar and Markandeya, it is said, Yo Vishnu Bhakto Viprendra Sudha Chakradi Chin Nita Sayati Vishnu Lokam Vai daha pralaya varjitam. O Brahmana, the devotee of Vishnu, marked with the pure chakra, goes to the planet of Vishnu, which is not burnt up during pralaya, Skanda Purana. Since padam and dhamma mean place and sarup, someone may say that these statements refer to the sarup of the Lord, not his abode. However, in other places, the word stanam, meaning place, is directly mentioned. For instance, it is said, Te vigachanti matstanam yad brahma paramam viduhu. They go to my place, which they know as the Supreme Brahman. This refutes that proposition. Right? Because now one may think, well, why is this such an important point? It's because the impersonalists, then they very much are trying to establish that all these things are not eternal. Because if they're not eternal, then their philosophy that the material world has forms and places and things, and that's material. So therefore, the spiritual being the opposite, so therefore it can't have a spiritual position. So they are very focused on this idea. And so they have to, you know, if they can't, they've been defeated on the Lord's part, they'll go after his paraphernalia and this and that. And then if he establishes paraphernalia is not transcendental, then where would you have pastimes with the Lord? So therefore, then it must be impersonal. So in either way, they're trying to establish this point. It's just one of those, you know, they just won't give up. In the quotation from Itihasa Samuchaya, one should desperately add the word cha to make a different statement, distinguishing the place from the phrase param brahmeti, yad vitu. They know this is the Supreme Brahman. However, one should take the help of the word loka, planet, in the various statements to make the meaning clear. Since the words pada, dhamma, stana, and loka are used to indicate one object, together they eliminate any wrong meaning and produce the true meaning. Similarly, the words Bhagavan and Hari mean Vishnu. Right? So they're trying to, you know, like this, they'll add cha or this or that because, you know, cha is an and or an also or like this. And in this way, they can come up with a different statement. But he's pointing out that no, that pada, dhamma, stana, loka, they're all one thing. They're all indicating one thing only. In spite of this, the opponent insists on saying that dhamma means sarup. The words of the Padma and Vishnu Purana defeat the opponent because if he says dhamma, he could mean himself because he is the abode. Everything's coming from him and that. So you could say he is the dhamma. And so they're trying to then switch it to that. Okay, if we're accepting that dhamma is transcendental, then dhamma means this. You know, so it's just another way of sneaking out on the argument. It doesn't work this way, you try it that way, you try it. You just keep going until you find something that works. That's their whole point. They can't not try. It's just, you know, that's their swarup, right?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Basically, they will twist any meaning, any sentence, anything to get the end meat.
Yes. And so this is a standard material, position because of attachment. I'm the controller and enjoyer. They're attached to that position. And so they will fight tooth and nail to gain that. You know, that's all. So before they had the knowledge, they had the means and logic and these things. So then they could discuss it and keep discussing it from so many angles. Nowadays, you know, people may refer more to, you know, emotions and all that and try to overwhelm you this way, especially by pointing out that they're the victim in this, right? They're after you. You're just sitting there minding your business. You go after them. And if you comment back, then they suddenly become the victim here. So that's another way of doing it. Or sometimes people don't say anything, but inside then they you know, it all burns and everything like that. And so they go, you know, he spoke, but I remember someone once mentioned, they spoke at me, not to me, you know, and like that is this, you know, like this, you know, so it's just, you know, it's the living entity does not want to give up the idea I'm the controller and enjoyer. So the karmi has his idea of what that means. The jnani has their idea. Right, so you'll see that in discussions and all that, the people will take any angle. So that's why then one should. That's why Vichar is there. You study it from so many different angles, so you already know these points because these are the way people will try to do. It's like, okay, you're trying to put a person in a position. Then they'll go after the person. And when you show he's the good person, then they'll try to say, well, it's not the right place. You know, okay, he's a great person, but this is not the right situation for him. Well, before they were saying he's wrong and the position is okay. Now they'll switch it. Oh, he's great, but the position's wrong. Like that. So, you know, he can't match the position. So they'll just keep going in any way that they can to try to win the argument. Because I've seen that is that, because of this, that people can't put things together. I've seen some of the, you know, most successful strategies in a meeting, you know, a big group meeting, is they'll break down the points. You know, they won't put it together. It means you have a package that you want to present, but they won't present the package. They'll present each item in the package separately because each item on their own is great. You know? But when you put it together as a package, then people buy their samskaras and all that, then they have a problem. So if you talk about the transcendental dhamma and that and going to the spiritual and all that, the impersonals would be fine with that. Because for them, the dhamma means impersonal. So they'll agree with that. But if you talk about the Lord and you attain the Lord, that's fine with them. Because even though the form's there, they know ultimately that in their mind, that is impersonal. So on each point, they'll agree, but when you put it together, now it has a problem. So then one has to be comfortable with this. So that's why we see the acharyas then from so every different angle that's possible that the materialistic consciousness can conceive of, that's what's discussed. So we may say, oh, why so much gyan? But this isn't gyan. This is just protecting the Lord and the devotees and his paraphernalia, you know, name, form, qualities, associates, pastimes, paraphernalia, dhamma, like this. So that's all. So they're just every angle that's there because the materialists are going to say these things. They can't not say these things. You know, it's like a dog has to bark. The cat has to, you know, climb up the curtains. You know, it's just that's what is going to happen. You know, is that okay? Yeah. So as we're trained, then you're not bewildered in this. They come over that. Okay. So they do that. Like I remember seeing once just how well it's thought out. Tamal Krishnamurti had asked me to come and he wanted to discuss something. And he presented something and it had like, so he was thinking about this. So what do you think? right? And then I thought, okay, you could do that, but then there's this aspect and this and that. And then just kind of very lightly said, oh, option D. You know, he was talking to himself, right? And then he'd go, okay, so why do you think that, you know, why are you choosing this angle? Why? Then he wants to know why you, he's already, who knows how many he's D means four, you know? So how many did he already work out? You know, 10 different ways it can be done. So, oh, okay, you chose number four. Okay, yeah, please explain why. And then he'll bring in some, what about this? What about that? And then, you know, once he's convinced that you've explained everything, you've thought about it nicely, you know, then the conversation's good. And now he has something to think about. Okay, he was thinking two, but then, yeah, four has some basis like that, you know, because he'll bring in things to, you know, why not two? Why not? You don't know what's two and three and four, but he'll bring in these angles. So that's the thing, is that the acharyas have studied. And then they see is they only have a limited number of angles that they can do, right? But if you're used to just somebody says this, you say that, and there's five different angles, then it's bewildering. So they present all five angles. And then when that those five angles are presented like that, then you know how to deal with it. No matter what situation comes up, you're comfortable to deal. So that's the idea. You want to say something or you're good? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. In spite of this, if the opponent insists on saying that Dhamma means Sarup, the words of the Padma and Vishnu Purana defeat the opponent. The statements which indicate that the place cannot be attained by karma, etc., are a final blow to the argument that the Lord's abodes are material and not equal to the Lord himself. Thus, statements like Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.33 were correctly explained, right? Because if you say you can't attain by karma, that means they can't be material. Because they're, even on their position, which means we'll count the position of liberation in that as material, because it's still material consciousness. They may be situated in the Brahman, free from, the other aspects of Dharma, Artha, and Kama, but they still have that mundane concept of moksha because they're seeing the Brahman separate from Krishna. But, and the Brahman is not separate from Krishna. It's his bodily effulgence. So if you say karma, because that's what they're saying, they say it's within the realm of karma. And they as jnanis are above that. So we're not at this point telling them that their position is also material. Right, otherwise they're not inspired at all because you want to take them forward. Is that their position? Okay, if we're taking it as spiritual, then fine. But the dhamma in that is spiritual, so that means you can't reach it by karma. Just like they're trying to attain liberation, not by karma. And if you say the Dham is spiritual also, it can't be reached by karma. So when you establish that, then okay, then that is the final blow, as you said, because then it's there. That's why we talk about spiritual and transcendental. Because spiritual just means the spiritual platform. It's Sat, right? But then there's, you know, and then within Sat, there's individual existence. That's where their philosophy falls apart. They only stand Sat in the general sense. They don't actually understand it. Sat means that everything has its existence. They just see existence as an impersonal thing. So the individuality of the planets, of the devotees, of all this, that they can't understand. So that's the point where then they have a problem. So then Sat, they have a partial understanding, and Chit, they don't really have anything at all. There's some knowledge that they're the soul and there's the supreme, but they don't understand the actual position, the visesha and everything like that. Their attitude's wrong. So then Ananda, you know, that there's the interaction and what's experienced in that interaction, they'll have no clue about, because their idea is that getting rid of all activities, all identities, everything, that position, then I'll be happy. Rather than you're an individual, so you'll be happy when you interact. You as an individual are spiritual when you interact with another spiritual individual. That's where you'll find happiness, you know? And that spiritual individual is the source of all spiritual individuals. So that's the Supreme. Yeah?
Maharaj? Maharaj?
Yes.
Yes. Ismin, you explained the position of the Mayavadi, but what is the position of Shankaracharya in this topic?
He's speaking things in such a way that they come to this conclusion. Right, because he's saying about Narayano Paravyaktat that he's there before the creation. So then he's unaffected. He says it's transcendental. So by the verses, it says he's transcendental. They have their own way of interpreting that, but that's the whole point. He doesn't necessarily say these things. He just speaks something that would give you the idea. Just like, let's say, what Bhaktisiddhanta says, Swami Thakur. You know, because sometimes this comes up as a big, how you say, divide between the, you know, ourselves and ISKCON and other practitioners of the Gaudiya line, right? Some devotee asks Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where did we fall from? He says, Brahman, right? Because if I say Brahman, there is zero questions. That's it. No one asks anything. Because we can relate to it, right? You know, we were either, you know, material energy, you know, just somehow or another by the combination of chemicals, and then voila, there we are, or we fell from Brahman. Either of these two, every living entity can relate to, because these two are material, karma and jnana, right? So when Prabhupada says, no, we fell from the spiritual world, we became envious of Krishna, then immediately there's a million questions. But the point is if when you see when the acharyas are talking, then everything is Brahman. So the jiva tattva, the jiva tattva the marginal potency, then that's also Brahman. So it doesn't have a problem there. Or you take it that yes, okay. Let's look at the level of development, that if you're on the position of Brahma Bhuta, that's Brahman. Mm-hmm. Then you move forward in that and become attracted to Krishna, then you develop prema. Or you move backwards and you get attached to Maya. So either of those positions you wouldn't call Brahman. Brahman is in the middle. Mm-hmm. So if you fell from Brahman, means you fell from a neutral position in relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? It's just like the baby, when they're born, they're in a neutral position. They have the natural relationship with the parent, but it's not by interacting with the parent that develops, right? The parent has the affection for the child before they're born. Even, you know, how you say, when they were a glimmer in their eye, yes. You know, they have an affection. Right? Then there's the child, then the child is born. So at all times there's that relationship. But you see, the baby is the one that becomes attracted. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. He says, you know, he's after being born and all that and the trauma of birth, but then the relatives and all that, then they so nicely take care and give you full attention and everything, try to make you happy, that you forget the pain of birth. It's right there in the song. And then forgetting the pain of birth, then you think, oh, the material world's a great place. I could do well here. Right? So the whole point is by that interaction with Krishna and his devotees, then you naturally develop the relationship that's already there. You can't say the baby doesn't have any relationship. So by saying that the baby isn't manifesting that relationship with the parents, doesn't mean it's not there. The parents are already having, Krishna already loves us, right? You got to love somebody to come and, you know, hang out in this body with them for whatever they're doing, right? Even your mom wouldn't do that, right? Yeah, so, you know, it's just like, yeah. So Krishna, you know, like parents, you know, you do this and, you know, and then you're not my son anymore, right? You know, like that. But Krishna comes with you no matter where you go. And that's, they're just saying, if you leave this house, then, you know, you're not my son. Krishna comes with you when you're a worm and stool. Right? You know, he comes along, he's sitting there. You know, so that's the whole thing. He has the love for us. We're the one that needs to develop it, though it's inherent, it's natural. That's what's there, just like with the baby. It's natural to become attached to the parent. So by that interaction, that cultivation, the association of devotees, that so therefore that position is Brahman. It's neutral because that's the meaning of Tathasta. It's inherently spiritual, you know, by being a part of the an expansion of the internal potency, not the external. But being on the border, it can see both. So that's Brahman. So just by saying Brahman, nobody asks another question. Absolutely not. It doesn't come up as a discussion. Never. So the only ones that bring it up in discussion who have come across that, and Prabhupada said, no, we fell from the spiritual world. In we have a relationship, we're envious. But it doesn't mean we're taking advantage of the relationship. You know, just like, let's say, you have the, you know, the cliche of the teenager, you know, who hates their parents because they never let them do anything that they want to do, even though everything they want to do is absolutely crazy. They have a relationship, but they're not acting in it. So whose fault is that? Is it the parents or is it the rebellious teenager? You know, like that. And then the fun part is because of, you know, then we like to make, oh, why did Krishna make me like this? Why couldn't he make me like the internal potency? You know, they never do this. You know, so it's Krishna's fault. So again, we're the victim and it's someone else's fault. So this is just mundane consciousness. So to avoid that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just said, we fell from Brahman. You know, the Prabhupada is giving us, yes, but in that state of Brahman, you do have a natural relationship with Krishna, but you became, but instead of taking advantage of the relationship, you became envious of Krishna. You know, and so then like this, then people argue and argue and argue and argue for years and years and years over this. Because why? Because they're attached to Brahman. Who argues over it? Those who themselves are intellectuals. They identify as intellectuals. They argue the point. Someone who's attached to karma just wants to make money and, you know, family. They don't argue this point. I'm telling you. Those who are intellectuals, they argue this point because of attachment to jnana, the liberation. You know, so it's just the way it is. So that's the whole point, is that you have these things, and as long as no one goes for it, then this is the simple thing. But if they do ask, then the acharyas give. This is what you say.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So it just before we saw that Vaikuntha Dham is also referred as Brahma Loka. It is the Brahman. So that is what the Upanishadic way of telling.
Yes, that's also very nice. Very nice point. Yes, Brahma Loka, it is Brahman. So you fall from Brahman, from the Brahma Loka. Yeah. From the Dham. Because when we say, see, it's like this, when we say fall from the pastimes of the Lord, we think we're in the pastimes. Point is you're there. It's like the yogic Brahmins, they're not in the pastimes. They're there in the environment, but they're not taking the advantage. Krishna comes there to the door. He asks them, please give us something to eat. And they say, no, we're doing a yajna. So therefore, from that position, they're in the material world, even though they're still there in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, whatever their form is and everything. But their wives, they move forward and surrender and take advantage and develop love for Krishna. There's a perfect example. The wives came forward, the husbands didn't, because the husbands are attached to some other idea. And the wives didn't. They just surrendered and Hari Bhav. So right there, there's a perfect example of how the living entity either moves forward and becomes a Nitya Siddha or falls down and becomes a Nitya Bada. Because it's on the spiritual platform, it is in Brahman, there is no time. So therefore the word anadi is there. So then it becomes very, very nice. So that's a very good point. that it's Dhamma, so it's Brahman. So that's the Brahman platform. But that's the point, it's neutral. You could go either way. The nature is to go this way. It's just like the baby, you there, you interact with them, they naturally develop that attachment. But they could go the other way. I mean, you always hear some weird story about that baby who is just a total demon, you know, like that, you know, like that. So, you know, you do have things like that. But the point is it's the natural thing. You'll just move forward. You'll just naturally develop, cultivate that relationship, that inherent relationship. Does that make sense? And the choice is ours. That's the point. We're on the edge. We can choose.
Yes.
And so that then adds to it, you know, because it's just like this. Let us say, you're having a meal, right? Nice meal, nicely arranged meal. And then let's say, what would you say? Let's say you have a nice, you know, so there's a drink and there's a really special, let's say, glass. You know, some special thing that's out of the ordinary. So it adds to the meal, right? Though it doesn't change the taste of the drink. You could perfectly have the drink without the glass, but it just adds something. So that's the position of the jivas. The jivas, because they make that decision to serve the Lord, it adds that little something. Because we're not the main players. So Krishna is always performing his pastimes with the main players, with Radharani, Mother Jashoda, Sudama, Subal, Sridhama, Maru Mangal. You know, they're there. Then we can come along and add in that little touch. So it's already perfect. And then that touch of more perfect. So that's who we are. And it's not like, oh, why this, why that? It's just, that's who we are, you know? You know, we can complain about everything if we like, you know, it's that we can do that. We can find fault in anything. But the point is, so it means we know who we are. We understand who we are. That's who we are. We're not internal potency. We're not external potency. We're the jivas. But our inherent nature is to serve the internal potency, serving Krishna. Therefore, take that up, do it. You can sit around and complain all you want and spend your life as a molecule of the material energy. Hari Bol, fabulous, you know, so wonderful, so unique, so different, no one else is doing it, you know. Or get it together and understand who you are and serve Krishna. Finished. You know? But we always have to make it about ourselves. We can't make it about Krishna. Even, you know, even we add Krishna, it's adding Krishna to ourselves. How does Krishna fit into this? You know, it's like, you know, we're the central, you know, you throw the pebble in, it makes that central thing. And then, of course, then the first ring around that will be Krishna, of course, like that, you know, like that. But, you know, he's got to fit in. But the point is, no, Krishna's the center, we fit in. And so when that's appreciated, so to avoid all this thing, because like now, that means that these discussions are going on and it's been 50 years. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't have to deal. He just said you fell from Brahman. And so when you know the philosophy technically enough, like was given here in the Sandarbha, that you can understand this, that the Dhamma is Brahmaloka, it is Brahman, then there's no problem. Then you understand what's there. But if you don't, you just fell from Brahman and no, I mean, I literally, no one will ask another question. You know, even you say the spiritual platform, well, what do you mean by it? Say Brahman, finished. Everybody knows, just like little kids. Hey, who's that? Oh, his mother. You don't have to explain what parents are. You don't have to explain eating. You don't have to explain going to the toilet. You don't have to explain sleeping or you're happy or sad. You don't have to explain that to children. It's inherent because you do that every life. So say Brahma, yeah, okay, of course. Does that make sense? And when you explain anything transcendental, it's kind of like, what's that? You know? So that's the problem. You know? Yeah? Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
This is an actually very powerful point that you mentioned, that basically there are two approaches to the Krishna consciousness. One is that and I've seen people for years, they try to fit Krishna into their picture, into their reality, so-called, which is basically Maya. Or
yes.
Others, more humble, they understand, I have to fit into Krishna's world. I have to fit into Krishna's pastimes. So it makes actually a lot of difference. And people stuck for years with that. And as you mentioned, just argue, you know, year after year, life after life. So if we...
Brahmanda after Brahmanda, yes.
Because Mahaprabhu says, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, I'm your eternal servant. That's it, but finished. And, but we have to accept it. Once we accept it, then it makes life, you know, much more easy. But otherwise, we just can't take it.
Yes, yes, definitely. Like you see, is that simple switch, that is the difference between the yogic Brahmins and their wives. It means that the yogic Brahmin is by the ritual, I'm going to attain the supreme. And so that's what it, you know, the point is that's the thing. Well, the wives is no, the supreme is here. And so we show our affection for the supreme by worshiping. So the yogic Brahma he's going to offer this to Vishnu through the rituals. And the wives are going to offer it to Vishnu directly. Right? So if Lord's not there, yes, you do through the ritual or whatever it is. They are Vyagic Brahmins. You might have the Pancharatrik Brahmins. You might have so many things that use whatever is the methods recommended in Shastra. But then you see is that they just saw it's about Krishna as the center. You put it there. Well, the Yagic Brahmins think their yajna, their karma is the center. And then Vishnu connects to that. By karma, then you can worship Vishnu. You could also worship Shiva or worship this, you know, Panchopasana. But the point is, no, and you see Brahma Samhita, there's only Krishna. Even the Panchopasana are all connected to Krishna. Yeah, so good point, good point. Yes, very nice. Yeah, good. Yeah. Thus, the Devatas have spoken to the Lord. So, Sarva Sambhadani. Now, here's his commentary on his work here. So generally speaking, he will explain everything in the how Jiva Goswami works is when he tries to write it completely clear that all elements are there. He doesn't like to summarize them as such so that it'll leave any room for guesswork. Like, so that's what's unique about his writing, is that all the elements will be there. But just in case, despite this, there might be a doubt, therefore he's even written the commentary to make it clear, right? Like that. The verse starting Om Namaste, recited by the Devas, is in praise of Hari, who rescued Gajendra. The following from the 11th canto also describes the form of Hari in a similar manner. As a fish, the Lord protected Satyavrata Manu, the earth and her valuable herbs, during the period of destruction. As a boar, the Lord killed Hiranyaksha, the son of Diti, while delivering the earth from the universal waters. As a tortoise, he lifted Mandara Mountain on his back while nectar was churned from the ocean. The Lord saved the surrendered king of the elephants, Gajendra, who was suffering from the crocodile. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.18. In the same chapter, in the sixth canto, he is called Hari. Atayvamya Idito Rajan Sadaram Tri Dasher Harihi Swam Upastanam Akarnya Prahatan Abhi Nandita. O King Parikit, being worshipped by the devatas, Hari, joyful after listening to their prayers, replied to the devatas. So you see, it's, and here is that he's the fish, he protected Satyavrata, you know, and the earth, and a valuable herb. So his pastime is accomplishing, so he's killing the demons or something like that, but he's accomplishing something. It means by killing Hiranyaksha, he is then saving the earth. By healing Hiranyakashipu, he's saving Prahlad. So the point is his appearance is for the devotees. And in the process, the demons also get killed. You know, it goes together. So it's not a problem. But this whole point of him and his paraphernalia and that associates, it's on the same transcendental platform. That's why all these things go together. Because he's transcendental. His activities are transcendental. The devotees are transcendental. The results are transcendental. So everything is transcendental. Yeah? Okay, Anucheda 77, page 108. Very auspicious. Thus, the nature of Vaikuntha has been described, just as the Lord sometimes manifests fully and sometimes partially. The abode also manifests fully or partially. The many types of abode should be seen in Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, where the abodes of Matsya and other forms are described. The abode is indicated in the following. O Vidura, having killed the king of the demons who had intolerable prowess, the Lord, the original boar, praised by Brahma and the devatas, went to his own planet of uninterrupted bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 3, 1931. Sa dayitva means after killing in relation to the Pavitra Ropana festival. Bodhayana says, Evam ya kurute vidvan varshe varshe na samshayaha sayati paramam stanam yatra devo nirikeshari. The person who places pavitras, colored threads, on the deity year after year without doubt goes to the supreme place where Nrisimha resides. Right? So again, here we're saying is that the Lord goes to his place. He performs his pastimes here. He goes there. So both these things are there. Just the side things, these pavitras, you know, like devotees have, they wear the pavitras and all this. So it's actually a festival, Pavitra Ropana festival. Is that then every year on a particular day, I think it may be, I'm not sure if it's an Ekadasi or that, then all these pavitras are offered to the deities. And so the idea is that if there's been any discrepancy in our worship and all that, then you please forgive us, right? And so he's trying to, you know, please the Lord and all that. Then afterwards, these pavitras then are distributed and the devotees can wear them as, you know, prasad from the Lord. So that's what's happening. So it's not just some funny thing that you just offer to the Lord and we happen to do like this. It's actually that the tradition is there that it's something nice to offer to the Lord and it's something nice then the devotees can wear as prasad. In Vayupuran, the city of Shiva is described. The place, completely surrounded by the dense water of the universal ocean, is supported by that water. The area arising out of the dense water and spreading out is surrounded on all sides by intense effulgence. It is surrounded by circular fire, like an iron ball. Everywhere strong winds blow. The five gross elements, including ether, ahankar, and the great mahatattva, are supported by unlimited prakriti. Tamas is unlimited, not pervaded by anything else. The beginningless abode of darkness, without borders and without place. At the end of Tamas, amid the limits of space, is the famous great shining abode of Shiva, incomprehensible to the devatas. It is a most attractive place. Thus the scriptures describe his abode, Vayupurana. Maitreya spoke thus. Yeah, so this would be in the, you know, what's outside the universes, how everything's there. Because then we see in Manasamhita, Mahakala. It opens.
Mahakalapura. Mahakalapura is described in Brihad Bhagavatam.
Oh, okay, yes. And it's just, is that this is in the primary creation, you know, in that environment. It's outside. And so then what is it? Mahakalapura, right? Is that what you said? Yeah. So then yeah, Manu then also mentions that you have this ignorance, and then from that, then you know everything sort of arises and all that. So the ignorance is the living entities not understanding their relationship with the Lord. That's the Thomas that we're talking about. Anucheta, yes.
The other one is described in Brahma Samhita. It's a Sada Shiva Loka. It's outside of the coverings of the universe. So that is the transcendental abode.
Yes, yes. But it's still, because there's that element, so Sada Shiva, but it's still that aspect of where he's accepting lordship over the modes of nature. While Vishnu doesn't do that.
Yes.
So therefore, it's the transformation of his energies and all that is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anucheta 78. So that's why it says it's, what do you call it? Incomprehensible to the devatas, right? So now the devatas are situated in goodness. They can't understand it, and they have intelligence. They work up there. And so if they can't understand it, so it's only by devotion to the Lord that these things can be understood. Right? It's not by logic and all that. That's the difficulty. Anucheta 78. Just as the Lord's body appears in this world, so sometimes one of his planets appears in this universe. For the combination of Subhra and his wife named Vaikuntha, there appeared the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha, along with Devadikas called the Vaikunthas, who were his expansions. Just to please the goddess of fortune, the Lord, known as Vaikuntha, at her request, created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:5-5. And so it appears that you have Dhruva Loka, which is a Vaikuntha planet, but there's another Vaikuntha planet that Lakshmi asked that he create, like that. Just as the apparent quote-unquote birth is just the appearance of the Lord in this world, so the production of Vaikuntha in this world is simply its appearance and is not produced like material objects, since both the Lord and his abode are eternal. Just as the Lord was quote unquote born Jagye, so the planet was produced Kalpitaha. This is Vaikuntha of Vaikuntha's son. The original Vaikuntha was seen by Brahma previously to material creation. This is known from the second canto, right? Because in his meditation, then he's able to see that transcendental place. You know, so te brahma loke tu para antakale. They're able to see beyond and see this place. It should be understood that this, However, it is said, searching for Vishnu and finding him absent from his house, Hiranyakashipu became angry and screamed loudly. The hero searched the earth, swarga, all directions, antariksha, sky, the caves and ocean, but did not see Vishnu anywhere. All right, so 8:19:11. It should be understood that this place of Vishnu, which Hiranyakashipu searched, was in swarga, right? So in other words, he has this place there in swarga, and so he couldn't find him there. Sukadev spoke thus. You also have the aspect of being a materialist, how he'll see the Lord unless the Lord reveals himself.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Maharaj, in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adilila, like I think when Nityananda Prabhu's glories are mentioned, there it mentions that within the universe there are three abodes of Lord Vishnu. Like apart from the Garbhoda, one is the Dhruva Loka, other one is for Lakshmi where he manifests, there are no Devata schools. And I think the third one is that Swarga one.
Oh, that abode in Swarga. Yeah, because he stays there with, because there's always an incarnation of the Lord that stays with Indra.
Yeah.
So he's the Manvantara avatar. So he's always with Indra. So he must have a place there. Yeah, so that's why it says a full or partial or like this, you know, so yes. Like that. Yeah, very nice. Anucheda 79. Dehen Driyasu Hinanam Vaikunta Para Vasinam. The inhabitants of Vaikunta are completely spiritual, having no material body, senses, or life heirs. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.135. So they're not dependent on the life, material life heirs for them, you know, for their, to move and stuff. The inhabitants have shuddha-sattva bodies devoid of senses and pranas of a material body of prakriti, which causes birth. Yudhishthira spoke thus to Narada, right, from the seventh canto. Anucheda 80. Atma tulyai shoda shabhir vina shrivatsa kostubhau paryu pasitam un nidra sharad ambruru hekshanam. The devatas saw the Lord with lotus eyes, like lotuses blooming in the autumn, who is served by 16 attendants equal to himself, but without the mark of Shrivatsa and the Kostuba jewel. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.29. The 16 attendants include Sunanda, right? Because he's surrounded by all of them. Because the Dwarpalas and all these different things, he has his particular attendants. Sukadev spoke thus. These Anuchedas are all right, no? Anucheda 80. Yeah, just one slow. Anucheda 81. The devotees are beyond time and attain the Purusha of closeness to the Lord, Samipya. I do not want these objects of enjoyment like span, of enjoyments, lifespan, wealth, power, or sense enjoyment of living beings up to that of Brahma, which are all destroyed by your power as time. Take me to the side of your servant. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.24. The meaning is clear. Prahlad spoke thus to Nrisingadev. So he doesn't want anything of this world. He just wants to be the servant of the servant. So he's saying, by Narad Muni's grace, I am able to appreciate and know you. And so then that is then you know, what is to be done. And so that's what he wants. He doesn't want anything else other than that. So you see is that the devotees are interested in the transcendental realm. The transcendental realm itself is beyond. The Lord goes there. The devotees go there. In those places, they have activities and pastimes, associates. So everything's going on there. That's the idea. Anucheda, and all this is situated in Brahman, in the spiritual platform. Right? It's also, that's why it's in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. It's establishing the spiritualness of the Lord, his devotees, his dham, his paraphernalia. Right? Yeah. Anucheda 82. Padma Purana Uttarakhanda Maharaj, says, yes.
Maharaj, Vritti, we need to read Vritti.
Oh, Vritti, yes. Vritti. In the next four Anuchedas, the meaning of Tripada Vibhuti, as stated in the Shrutis and Smritis, is illustrated, and a comparison is done of the Tripada Vibhuti, Vaikuntha, and Pada Vibhuti, material creation, in order to prove that the Vaikuntha abode of the Lord is independent of the influence of material world and is superior to it. Anucheda 82. Padma Purana Uttarakhanda says, the spiritual worlds are unlimited in number. They are all Shuddha Sattva, filled with spiritual bliss, eternal without change and devoid of material passion. They are pure gold, shining like millions of suns, personifying Vedic knowledge, filled with pastimes and devoid of lust and anger. These places exclusively serve the lotus feet of Narayana and are always blissfully singing verses. They are the essence of the Vedas, embodying the five Upanishads, Padma Purana. The word Tripada Vibhuti means the spiritual world. Pada Vibhuti means the material world, since it is said. The spiritual realm is spread over three parts. One part is this world. The three-part spiritual world is eternal. The power of the one part is temporary. The eternal form of the Supreme Lord is situated in that glorious place. That form of the Lord is without decay, eternal, full of pastimes, eternally young, eternally enjoying and surrounded by Sri, Bhumi, and Ishwari, Padma Purana. That's interesting. Lakshmi is called Ishwari. That's interesting.
Neela Maharaj. Neela is called Ishwari.
Oh, okay, Ishwari. Yeah, because here it says Sri. That's right. Sri, Bhumi, and Ishwari. Yeah, because Ishwari, she's the one that's making all the arrangements and all that. She's adjusting everything and creating the, you know, in other words, the Yoga Maya aspect. She's taking care of all that. Okay, where did we get to? Okay, according to this concept of Tripada Vibhuti, the following statement in the second canto should be understood. So, mṛtasya bhayas yesho martyam annam yad at yagat mahish maisha tato brahman purushasya durat yaya. O Brahmana, he is the Lord of spiritual bliss, bliss fearless beyond material enjoyment, because he surpasses material happiness. Right? He's beyond material enjoyment because he himself surpasses. He's the source of this. He's Ananda. He's Anandamaya Vyasa. It means everything's coming from him. The Ananda comes from him. So he naturally, therefore, surpasses material enjoyment. There's no need for that. The power of the Supreme Lord is beyond human endeavor, right? No matter what you do, you can't catch. Like you see, Hiranyakashipu tries to catch the Lord. He's beyond that. So there's no question. Amrita, full of bliss, and Abhaya, fearless. Two qualities should also include Kshema, or security, represented by Martyam Anam Yad At Yagat, to make a third quality, and thus Vaikuntha is Tripada. When Shruti says, Utam Ritavasyeshana, it includes Kshema and Abhaya also. The sentence emphasizes the dharmi, the object being described by various terms. So it's full of bliss, it is fearless, and it has that aspect of security. Right. The word gratify, so in other words, these three main qualities are there. That's what's special in that. And so then that makes the Tripada. It's just another way of bringing out the glory of the Tripada. The above quotation includes a place full of bliss, Amrita. A synonym for Amrita is Vishnu Mandiram. So the temple means that's the place of bliss, or Amrita. Vaikuntha is free of fear, Abhayam. Pravartate yatra rajas tamas tayo. Sadvam chamisram nachakala vikrama. In Vaikuntha, there are no rajas or tamas, and no sattva mixed with rajas and tamas. There is no influence of time, right? You don't have rajas tamas, and the mode of goodness also doesn't have rajas and tamas. Because here in the material world, sattva is still mixed with rajas and tamas. It's not pure. It doesn't say that you can't have, you know, I mean, there's never any of the pure, but you don't have to point it out that rajas, you know, are tamas like this. The point is that position, it always has that material element. So shuddha sattva means what's beyond. That's what's transcendental. There's no influence of time, right? Because time means past, present, future. So that way you get goodness, passion, ignorance. In Vaikuntha, Ata patram tu Vaikuntham dvija dhamakuto bhayam tri vridvedas supar nakyo agyam vahati purusham. O Brahmanas, the Lord's umbrella represents fearlessness found in Vaikuntha. And Garuda, who carries the Lord of sacrifice, is the sacrifice mentioned in the three Vedas. So it has that freedom from fear, and that's represented in the Lord's umbrella. And it mentions about, you know, through sacrifice like that. So Garuda, he carries the Lord, so he performs service. So the devotional service is your sacrifice. Shemam is described in the following. Na yatra maya kim ut parer harer anuvrata yatra sura sura chita. There is no influence of maya at all. What to speak of its products, such as material elements? In Vaikuntha, the inhabitants are fully dedicated to the Lord and are worshipful by the devas, suras, and devotees. Shema means it is auspicious for worshiping the Lord, since it is devoid of material forms and qualities. Right. So, material world's auspiciousness means I can gain my, you know, dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. But the spiritual world auspiciousness means that there's no obstacles to serving the Lord, no obstacles to expressing that devotion to the Lord. Sarva Mangala Murdanya Purna Ananda Mayi Sada Dvijendra Tava Mayastu Bhaktir Avya Bicharini. O best of the Brahmanas, may you have undeviating bhakti, bhava, for me. That bhakti is the crest jewel of all auspiciousness and full of bliss eternally, Nārada Palan. So undeviating bhakti means there is no obstacle. So that means that's why the pure devotees, they don't deviate from the devotion to the Lord. So pure devotion means is there. That's why we see nishta then is such a significant position, because one becomes steady in serving the Lord, right? Because of anartha nivritti, giving up the anarthas that are there, then one is able to appreciate the service to the Lord and be fixed in that, right? And then the further stage, that higher stage of anartha nivritti and being fixed to the Brahma Bhuta, then giving up the material identification and that, then one is able to be situated in that that position of being fixed in the spiritual position. Brahma Bhuta means you're fixed in the spiritual position. Then there's no obstacle to your performing devotional service. So you can surrender and move forward, in prema. Evam etan maya dishtan anu tishtanti te pataha. Kshemam vidanti matstanam yad brahma paramam viduhu. Persons who seriously follow these methods of achieving me, which I have personally taught, attain kshema, my abode, Vaikuntha, or the Supreme Brahman. So here even kshema, it means the Brahman. It also means that the auspicious. So his plan is known as auspicious. It's known all these different things. So we'll just take it just means a planet. But the point is it's a planet of auspiciousness where everyone can serve the Lord without any obstacle. But it is the place of Ananda, because then by serving the Lord, being that, but you're with the Lord, you're so, therefore, you know, so all these things are meant. That's why the same so many different words, so many different qualities can be referring to the same place. You know, we like to just make it one thing does, because here everything's dead, right? But there everything's conscious, everything's non-different from the Lord. Evam etan maya dishtan anu tishtanti me pataha. Kshemam vindanti matstanam yad brahma paramam viduhu. Oh, I think we just read this, right? By interpreting these words with lakshana, one can say that places like Janaloka are meant, but there's good reason to refute such meanings. Those places are all subject to death, right? So we saw in the others that it has the aspect fearlessness. So if there's death, there's always fearlessness. There's always fear, you know. But one becomes fearless when one understands one's relationship with the Lord. In Sakshema, then it's auspicious because there's no obstacles to that serving the Lord, right? All the planetary systems, okay. Lokanam, loka palanam, madbhayam kalpa jivinam. Brahmano pi bhayam matto, dvi paradha parayushaha. All the planetary systems and all of the great devatas who live for 1,000 yuga cycles fear me. Even Brahma, who possesses the supreme lifespan of 311 40 trillion years. No, let's see.
311 trillion 40 billion.
40 billion, yes, okay. Yes, I was going to say, wait a minute, then that means that has to go to quadrillions, yes. So. Yeah, generally we don't work with numbers this big, but yeah. So, yes, 311 trillion 40 billion years. Even he's afraid of me. Why? Because it's only 311 40 billion years, then he dies. So he's afraid. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:10:30. The phrase martyam annam yad at yagat means that the Lord, surpassing the results of karma, which is presented in the three worlds, resides in Vaikuntha. Because what's the results of karma? You get a body, and that body has a duration. So better the karma, the better the body, but it all dies. Therefore, if you're performing karma, you are afraid. Like that. So the phrase means that the Lord, martyam anam yat anagat. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Agat means that the Lord, surpassing the results of karma, which is present in three worlds, resides in Vaikuntha. Mahi maisha tato brahman purushasya duratyaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:6:18 means the form which is blissful, fearless, and secure cannot be approached by the mind, brahmacharya, etc. So blissful, fearless, and secure, right? So secure, I mean, that auspiciousness, that means it's secure. You can always perform service. Fearless, it's free from deathlessness. Blissful means it's personal relationship, personal interaction with the supreme blissful. You know, we are small blissful, he's big blissful, we interact. Then there's so much bliss. Enough bliss for everybody and with extra. Right? Does that make sense? So blissful, fearless, and secure. While in this material world, everything is fearful and temporary. So it's not secure. If anything's temporary, it's not secure. So the spiritual world is secure because it's eternal. Anucheda. Starting to read it like it was a shloka. Anucheda 83. The four parts of the Lord's manifestation, Tatushpada Aishwarya, composed of three parts in the spiritual world and one part in the material world, is described. Tatushpada Aishwarya. That's interesting. I've never come across that. The four padas, right? The four padas of the Lord's opulence. Three of them are spiritual, one of them is material. So you have Tatushpada, Tripada, and Pada. You know, some of these Ekapada, but you know, it's like that. Padeshu sarva bhutani pumsam stiti pado viduhu amritam kshemam abhayam tri murdno dhai murdasu. The wise know that place where living beings are situated. All beings reside in those four parts. Amrita, kshema, and abhaya are fixed in the spiritual world, situated above the three gunas. Right, so Ananda or Amrita or that nectar, that, you know, just that, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:6:19. Stiti Pada means having places, Pada, of four parts where all beings reside. In the four parts, Padeshu, reside all beings up to the associates of the Lord, Sarva Bhutani. So everyone, so the Lord is there with his associates. The Lord's there, he's surrounded by his associates, and then it goes out from there, everybody. So those who are then following the footsteps of those associates, they're in the Tripada. Those who are not following in those footsteps, they're in the Ekapada. Yes.
From this description, we can see like the space is based on the quality, not like this places, four places, Ekapada and Tripada divided based on the quality of it. So the space in originality is actually based on the quality it manifests. Like.
Yes, that's a very important part, because otherwise we'll tend to too much put the emphasis on that the space meaning a particular location. So they do have their location, but why it's important to understand is the quality, because if you have the wrong quality, then you're in the material world, right? And if you have the right quality, you're in the spiritual world. So even if someone is in the material world, in the material body, but his consciousness is on the spiritual platform, then he is transcendental. He's situated in the Tripada, even though physically he's here. So that's a very good point, that it's the qualities that make the difference. Like that. Very good. Okay. Okay, Amrita, Kshema, and Abhaya reside in the Vaikuntha planets existing above the objects predominated by any of the three gunas. All right, so you have these things, so then you get these opposite things. So you get their perversion, you get the three gunas. So Amrita then will become your mode of goodness, Kshema will become your mode of passion, Abhaya will become your mode of ignorance. Right, because then here is like everyone's, has that fearfulness because they don't know their relationship with the Lord and they identify with the mundane, and that's what they're doing. The shema is obstacles are there because they want to perform these activities. They want to be able to do all these things, but there's always obstacles because unless you have the good karma, you can't perform the activity. You know, it's always based on that merit that doesn't have that ethic. And then the amrita, then you want results so that you can be happy, like that. So there you have amrita, kshema, and abhaya, and here you have goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Like
not
we can
actually
say,
good.
Sorry, Mark. We can and say like amrita.
Say, not a good trade-off. Not a yes, good trade-off.
Like instead of amrita, here we have sukha, which is always mixed with dukkha.
Yes. Yeah, it's just removal of pain. Sukha then means removal of pain. Well, amrita means it's actually positive. Yes, very good. Verse 17 describes one pada, since it is the place for results of karma, martyam annam. Verse 18 describes the other three padas, since it lists three items starting with amrita. This illustrates the meaning of padosya vishwa bhutani, Tripadas Yamritam Divi. Three parts are in the spiritual world, and one part, made of all the beings, is in the material world. Purusha Shukta. Purusha Shukta. Yes. Because you don't see it in the regular thing, but yeah. You know. I'm having trouble reading it, but I have this memorized. But I have it memorized as Vedic, but not as, just written here like this. So. That's really funny. Sometimes I'm reading something, I can't read it. And then when I get the end, I go, oh, yeah. Three parts are in the spiritual world, and one part made of all the beings is in the material world. Purusha Shukta. The place and the master of the place, the Lord, are expressed as one entity. Right? So therefore, the spiritual world and the Lord is expanded one because they're just expanding from him. For his pastimes with his devotees. So that's the non-difference. So that's the thing, is that in actuality, we're seeing that the Lord is non-dual. So him and the spiritual world are non-dual. and that at the same time as there is visesha, there's uniqueness. While the impersonalists to say everything is one, then they'll say the Lord and his Dham and these are different. So they're not actually, monists. They call themselves exclusive monists because they only accept that aspect. But then they're the ones talking about Maya. You know, so in that way, they're so that's Maya's trick. They think they're talking one thing when they're talking the other. You know. Anucheta 84. One of the four padas consisting of the three worlds is shown to be the place of material actions. Padas trayo bhis chasan aprajanam ya ashrama antas trilokyas tvaparo griha medo brihad vrataha. Beyond the material realm lies the spiritual realm of three qualities with the abodes of the liberated souls. In the material realm of the three gunas, the materialists devoid of bhakti to the Lord reside. Devoid of bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.20. The word cha indicates that the three parts are taken as one unit. Right? The three padas exist beyond the material world, bahi. The three worlds are one pada beyond which the other three padas exist, being contrary to the one pada. That exclusion is indicated by the word puna in the Vedic mantra. Pado sheha bhavat punaha. One pada of the Lord appeared, Purusha Shukta. The place of tripad is attained by persons belonging to ashrams with no offspring. Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Since it is attained by three ashrams, it is also called Tripada out of the four. The other part, the fourth part, is within the three worlds. It is attained by householders, since they do not practice Brahmacharya. Abrihat Vrataha, that's the Shastra. Now that's I've never heard that one before. So that may be where it comes from, that the safe position is the three ashrams. So that's why then one moves, one practices Brahmacharya, then moves into Grihastha life, then at one point moves into Vanaprastha and stuff like this. Because these are the safe positions, because then the focus is on the transcendental. Well, with the Grihastha, then he focuses more on the activities. And then as pointed out previously by Jagadish Prabhu, if you have managed to make Krishna the center, then whatever your position, like the Pandavas, they're transcendental, even though the Grihasthas, you know, are Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But if not, the tendency is that for many, they add Krishna to their life, which is a good beginning, but it's not actually a solid platform. Because you see the Madhyama platform, Nishtha, then it's centered around Krishna. You're not as solid in it as you are in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, but it's still solid. Therefore, the Madhyama is considered advanced. So if the Grihastha is able to come to that position and all that, then they're very well situated. So that means already they're in that aspect of mentality of sannyas by that whatever they do is for pleasing Krishna. So as you mentioned before, you're in these two realms by qualities. And so in this, because we also know is that can be brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis, they'll be in the material world. But what the main point is that element of detachment, the element of sannyas, in the mood that I'm doing this for Krishna rather than I'm doing this for myself and I will give it to Krishna, then that's the difference. Like Indra is doing his own activity and then it's for Krishna. That's the difference. While Dhritasura is only acting for Krishna. So that's why at the end of the pastime, Dhritasura goes back to Godhead and Indra stays here. Right, but he's a servant of the Lord and everything like that. So it's a very, very nice one. So we can see is that these elements of three, then so many definitions can be there. So many ways you can explain it. You know, it's like Sambandhavide and Prosa. So many different things you can say. Okay, so then we'll stop here for today. And then we'll continue. Everybody has the next books. And that because we only have one on Orcheda.
Yes, Maharaj, I gave the books. I will bring your book.
Okay. Yeah, because then we'll need for the next time.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.